The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Trumpet Daily. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. There you have a live shot. President Trump now, no longer president-elect, even though he's been functioning as the president pretty much for 70-plus days. But he's now officially the president of the United States. Pretty amazing to think about. We've had shows recently about all that has transpired over the last year, all that's transpired over the last 4 years. Who could have imagined this 4 years ago? Well, we were writing about it actually at thetrumpet.com for 4 years saying he would return. We just barely missed his oath of office. But we are going to bring you his inaugural address. I'm not sure exactly what happens between now and the address, but we'd like for you to see that in its entirety. So if you've ever wanted to watch some TV together, today is your lucky day. Today we'll be doing something a little unusual, showing you the live stream, not just of this program, but of Donald Trump and his inaugural address. He's already got, I think, something like 20 executive actions prepared. 100. I think 100 executive orders. I think he has 10 or 12 just with respect to border security. Closing the border today. He made a statement yesterday saying that as of tomorrow, the border will be sealed. So he is prepared to take action. Another thought that I had while watching everyone enter into this room, besides the fact that it looks like Barron is even getting taller It's unbelievable. But the other thing that just jumped out at me as I was chuckling all morning long is here are these dignitaries. Here are all of his opponents, the ones that tried to kill him politically and literally. They're showing up for the inauguration of Orange Hitler. How about that? All of these people who tried and tried, not just 4 years, for 8 years, they've tried to destroy him. And now he's back. We have montages queued up from 4 years ago. The media swooning, not before the dear leader, but swooning over the news that Donald Trump, Orange Hitler, was leaving Washington, never, ever, ever to return. If we have time, we'll cut back if he starts his address. But since it looks like we might have just a few minutes, listen to this montage from January 20th, 2021. This is clip two.
Pro-Trump terrorists have threatened new attacks. Meantime, at the White House, the soon-to-be former president continues to shatter norms.
He looks small. He just looks like a small man. And he just has appeared smaller and smaller and less courageous.
It's what a difference 4 years makes. He had a very impressive, huge crowd at his inauguration. It's going to be a little pathetic, a tiny little crowd at Joint Base Andrews, where he's going to say goodbye.
In a way, because the president is defying these traditions of not being a part of the inauguration of President Joe Biden, he's almost leaving town like an autocrat ousted from power, heading off into exile.
He leaves with the lowest approval ratings of any president after one term in the history of scientific polling.
Melania Trump also leaving with the lowest approval rating of any first lady in the history of polling, which is a remarkable thing.
It's so nice to have a president with a soul again. The previous one sold his to the devil and didn't. Like I do at most happy things, I cried a lot. It's true. It was extremely emotional.
You know, we did narrowly avert catastrophe in America. Yeah. It may have been the best speech Joe Biden's ever given. And I don't want to go overboard and compare it to Lincoln's second inaugural, but
we are about to see a change of incalculable dimensions. And for those who still just have to cover Donald Trump because they've done it for 4 years, really get over it.
Yeah, the last comment there from John Bolton. Get over Trump. Come on. He's gone. He's gone. He's politically, he's dead. There's no return. You guys can pull up the split screen if you like, just so that I can see what's happening. But in any event, there's the media swooning over Trump's demise. If we have time on today's show, we'll play another montage. It's a little bit longer. We took it from the end of the year montage. And is he speaking now? Let's cut away then to Donald Trump.
We will be the envy of every nation, and we will not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of any longer. During every single day of the Trump administration, I will very simply put America first. Our sovereignty will be reclaimed. Our safety will be restored. The scales of justice will be rebalanced. The vicious, violent, and unfair weaponization of the Justice Department and our government will end. And our top priority will be to create a nation that is proud, prosperous, and free. America will soon be greater, stronger, and far more exceptional than ever before. I return to the presidency confident and optimistic that we are at the start of a thrilling new era of national success. A tide of change is sweeping the country, sunlight is pouring over the entire world, and America has the chance to seize this opportunity like never before. But first, we must be honest about the challenges we face. while they are plentiful, they will be annihilated by this great momentum that the world is now witnessing in the United States of America. As we gather today, our government confronts a crisis of trust. For many years, a radical and corrupt establishment has extracted power and wealth from our citizens while the pillars of our society lay broken and seemingly in complete disrepair. We now have a government that cannot manage even a simple crisis at home, while at the same time stumbling into a continuing catalog of catastrophic events abroad. It fails to protect our magnificent, law-abiding American citizens, but provides sanctuary and protection for dangerous criminals, many from prisons and mental institutions, that have illegally entered our country from all over the world. We have a government that has given unlimited funding to the defense of foreign borders, but refuses to defend American borders or, more importantly, its own people. Our country can no longer deliver basic services in times of emergency, as recently shown by the wonderful people of North Carolina, been treated so badly. And other states who are still suffering from a hurricane that took place many months ago. Or more recently, Los Angeles, where we are watching fires still tragically burn from weeks ago without even a token of defense. They're raging through the houses and communities, even affecting some of the wealthiest and most powerful individuals in our country, some of whom are sitting here right now. They don't have a home any longer. That's interesting. But we can't let this happen. Everyone is unable to do anything about it. That's going to change. We have a public health system that does not deliver in times of disaster, yet more money is spent on it than any country anywhere in the world. And we have an education system that teaches our children to be ashamed of themselves in many cases, to hate our country despite the love that we try so desperately to provide to them. All of this will change starting today, and it will change very quickly. My recent election is a mandate to completely and totally reverse a horrible betrayal and all of these many betrayals that have taken place, and to give the people back their faith, their wealth, their democracy, and indeed their freedom. From this moment on, America's decline is over. Our liberties and our nation's glorious destiny will no longer be denied, and we will immediately restore the integrity, competency, and loyalty of America's government. Over the past 8 years, I have been tested and challenged more than any president in our 250-year history, and I've learned a lot along the way. The journey to reclaim our republic has not been an easy one, that I can tell you. Those who wish to stop our cause have tried to take my freedom and indeed to take my life. Just a few months ago, in a beautiful Pennsylvania field, an assassin's bullet ripped through my ear. But I felt then, and believe even more so now, that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again. Thank you very much. That is why each day under our administration of American patriots, we will be working to meet every crisis with dignity and power and strength. We will move with purpose and speed to bring back hope, prosperity, safety, and peace for citizens of every race, religion, color, and creed. For American citizens, January 20th, 2025 is Liberation Day. It is my hope that our recent presidential election will be remembered as the greatest and most consequential election in the history of our country. As our victory showed, the entire nation is rapidly unifying behind our agenda with dramatic increases in support from virtually every element of our society, young and old, men and women, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, urban, suburban, rural. And very importantly, we had a powerful win in all seven swing states. And the popular vote, we won by millions of people. To the Black and Hispanic communities, I want to thank you for the tremendous outpouring of love and trust that you have shown me with your vote. We set records, and I will not forget it. I've heard your voices in the campaign, and I look forward to working with you in the years to come. Today is Martin Luther King Day, and his honor, this will be a great honor, but in his honor, we will strive together to make his dream a reality. We will make his dream come true. National unity is now returning to America, and confidence and pride is soaring like never before. In everything we do, my administration will be inspired by a strong pursuit of excellence and unrelenting success. We will not forget our country, we will not forget our Constitution, and we will not forget our God. Can't do that. Today, I will sign a series of historic executive orders. With these actions, we will begin the complete restoration of America and the revolution of common sense. It's all about common sense. First, I will declare a national emergency at our southern border. Illegal entry will immediately be halted, and we will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came. We will reinstate my Remain in Mexico policy. I will end the practice of catch and release. And I will send troops to the southern border to repel the disastrous invasion of our country. Under the orders I signed today, we will also be designating the cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. By invoking the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, I will direct our government to use the full and immense power of federal and state law enforcement to eliminate the presence of all foreign gangs and criminal networks, bringing devastating crime to U.S. soil, including our cities and inner cities. As Commander-in-Chief, I have no higher responsibility than to defend our country from threats and invasions, and that is exactly what I am going to do. We will do it at a level that nobody's ever seen before. Next, I will direct all members of my cabinet to marshal the vast powers at their disposal to defeat what was record inflation and rapidly bring down costs and prices. The inflation crisis was caused by massive overspending and escalating energy prices, and that is why today I will also declare a national energy emergency. We will drill, baby, drill. America will be a manufacturing nation once again, and we have something that no other manufacturing nation will ever have, the largest amount of oil and gas of any country on earth, and we are going to use it. We're going to use it. We will bring prices down, fill our strategic reserves up again, right to the top, and export American energy all over the world. We will be a rich nation again, and it is that liquid gold under our feet that will help to do it. With my actions today, we will end the Green New Deal, and we will revoke the electric vehicle mandate, saving our auto industry and keeping my sacred pledge to our great American auto workers. In other words, you'll be able to buy the car of your choice. We will build automobiles in America again at a rate that nobody could have dreamt possible just a few years ago. And thank you to the auto workers of our nation for your inspiring vote of confidence. We did tremendously with their vote. I will immediately begin the overhaul of our trade system to protect American workers and families. Instead of taxing our citizens to enrich other countries, we will tariff and tax foreign countries to enrich our citizens. For this purpose, we are establishing the External Revenue Service to collect all tariffs, duties, and revenues. It will be massive amounts of money pouring into our treasury, coming from foreign sources. The American dream will soon be back and thriving like never before to restore competence and effectiveness to our federal government. My administration will establish the brand new Department of Government Efficiency. After years and years of illegal and unconstitutional federal efforts to restrict free expression, I will also sign an executive order to immediately stop all government censorship and bring back free speech to America. Never again will the immense power of the state be weaponized to persecute political opponents, something I know something about. We will not allow that to happen. It will not happen again. Under my leadership, we will restore fair, equal, and impartial justice under the constitutional rule of law. And we are going to bring law and order back to our cities. This week, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female. This week, I will reinstate any service members who were unjustly expelled from our military for objecting to the COVID vaccine mandate with full back pay. And I will sign an order to stop our warriors from being subjected to radical political theories and social experiments while on duty. It's going to end immediately. Our armed forces will be freed to focus on their sole mission, defeating America's enemies. Like in 2017, we will again build the strongest military the world has ever seen. We will measure our success not only by the battles we win, but also by the wars that we end, and perhaps most importantly, the wars we never get into. My proudest legacy will be that of a peacemaker and unifier. That's what I want to be, a peacemaker and a unifier. I'm pleased to say that as of yesterday, one day before I assumed office, the hostages in the Middle East are coming back home to their families. America will reclaim its rightful place as the greatest, most powerful, most respected nation on earth, inspiring the awe and admiration of the entire world. A short time from now, we are going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, and we will restore the name of a great president, William McKinley, to Mount McKinley, where it should be and where it belongs. President McKinley made our country very rich through tariffs and through talent. He was a natural businessman and gave Teddy Roosevelt the money for many of the great things he did, including the Panama Canal, which has foolishly been given to the country of Panama after the United States. The United States, I mean, think of this, spent more money than ever spent on a project before and lost 38,000 lives in the building of the Panama Canal. We have been treated very badly from this foolish gift that should have never been made. And Panama's promise to us has been broken. The purpose of our deal and the spirit of our treaty has been totally violated. American ships are being severely overcharged and not treated fairly in any way, shape, or form. And that includes the United States Navy. And above all, China is operating the Panama Canal. And we didn't give it to China. We gave it to Panama. And we're taking it back. Above all, my message to Americans today is that it is time for us to once again act with courage, vigor, and the vitality of history's greatest civilization. So as we liberate our nation, we will lead it to new heights of victory and success. We will not be deterred. Together, we will end the chronic disease epidemic and keep our children safe, healthy, and disease-free. The United States will once again consider itself a growing nation, one that increases our wealth, expands our territory, builds our cities, raises our expectations, and carries our flag into new and beautiful horizons. And we will pursue our manifest destiny into the stars, launching American astronauts to plant the stars and stripes on the planet Mars. Ambition is the lifeblood of a great nation. And right now, our nation is more ambitious than any other. There's no nation like our nation. Americans are explorers, builders, innovators, entrepreneurs, and pioneers. The spirit of the frontier is written into our hearts. The call of the next great adventure resounds from within our souls. Our American ancestors turned a small group of colonies on the edge of a vast continent into a mighty republic of the most extraordinary citizens on Earth. No one comes close. Americans pushed thousands of miles through a rugged land of untamed wilderness. They crossed deserts, scaled mountains, braved untold dangers, won the Wild West, ended slavery, rescued millions from tyranny, lifted billions from poverty, harnessed electricity, split the atom, launched mankind into the heavens, and put the universe of human knowledge into the palm of the human hand. If we work together, there is nothing we cannot do and no dream we cannot achieve. Many people thought it was impossible for me to stage such a historic political comeback. But as you see today, here I am, the American people have spoken. I stand before you now as proof that you should never believe that something is impossible to do. In America, the impossible is what we do best. From New York to Los Angeles, from Philadelphia to Phoenix, from Chicago to Miami, from Houston to right here in Washington, D.C., our country was forged and built by the generations of patriots who gave everything they had for our rights and for our freedom. They were farmers and soldiers, cowboys and factory workers, steel workers and coal miners, police officers and pioneers who pushed onward, marched forward, and let no obstacle defeat their spirit or their pride. Together they laid down the railroads, raised up the skyscrapers, built great highways, won two world wars, defeated fascism and communism, and triumphed over every single challenge that they faced. After all we have been through together, we stand on the verge of the four greatest years in American history. With your help, we will restore America's promise, and we will rebuild the nation that we love, and we love it so much. We are one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. So to every parent who dreams for their child, and every child who dreams for their future, I am with you, I will fight for you, and I will win for you. We are going to win like never before. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In recent years, our nation has suffered greatly, but we are going to bring it back and make it great again, greater than ever before. We will be a nation like no other, full of compassion, courage, and exceptionalism. Our power will stop all wars and bring a new spirit of unity to a world that has been angry, violent, and totally unpredictable. America will be respected again and admired again, including by people of religion, faith, and goodwill. We will be prosperous. We will be proud. We will be strong, and we will win like never before. We will not be conquered. We will not be intimidated. We will not be broken, and we will not fail. From this day on, the United States of America will be a free, sovereign, and independent nation. We will stand bravely. We will live proudly. We will dream boldly, and nothing will stand in our way because we are Americans. The future is ours, and our golden age has just begun. Thank you. God bless America. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank
you. There you go. The new president of the United States of America. I think Sam was telling me his speech back in 2017 went for about 18 minutes. And if my calculations are right, this one was a little bit longer, 28, 29 minutes or so. And he's outlining his vision for the United States, a new day dawns for America, declaring two national emergencies, one at the southern border, another one with respect to energy. And in both cases, he's got executive actions prepared to move quickly. It's a new day in America. You know, what's interesting about this as I was watching it, you see in the upper right there, the Capitol Rotunda. This is where grandma was meandering around taking selfies 4 years ago on January 6th. And she's in jail now. She's in prison. The Trump supporters that walked between the velvet ropes, they're in prison, languishing away. Some of them are going to be let out today, as I understand it. But here is Donald Trump, the so-called leader of the insurrection. And he's having to give this glorious speech in front of all of the ones that have been so excited about jailing Trump supporters. I mean, Merrick Garland, just to give you an idea of what he's going up against, Merrick Garland, he leaves the DOJ for the last time on Friday, and all these bureaucrats come out into the hallway and cheer him on. And what is he most proud about? That they put Trump supporters in prison. Well, the tables have turned. Now, and then for his part, the fake president, he's there issuing full pardons, just sweeping pardons for the deep state, the January 6th committee, the Capitol Hill police that testified, the Metropolitan Police, who else? Fauci. Why would Fauci need a pardon? Why would it have to go back to 2014? all of these people. They're guilty. They're guilty. And as Trump said right there in that speech, he knows a thing or two about these weaponized agencies coming after him. Well, now he's the president of the United States. Now there's going to be a new AG. Now there's going to be a new FBI director. And these are people who are loyal to Donald Trump. I mean, as far as nothing symbolizes or captures the tables turning more perfectly than Donald Trump changing the name of Mount Denali in Alaska to Mount McKinley. Guess who changed it to Denali? That would be the dear leader. The dear leader, Barack Obama, who's right there in attendance without his wife, but he's there attending Donald John Trump's inauguration. He named it to Denali, whatever that means. You can Google it, I guess. Trump comes along and names it Mount McKinley, which it was before 2015. And then you add to that, changing the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Some pretty strong words with respect to the Panama Canal. Still, he hasn't really backed off of that. It's amazing. A new day dawns. He's here as a peacemaker, as a unifier. So we'll see how long the resurgence lasts. But, you know, the fake press, you know, another interesting point here is that Donald Trump, the regime media, they went nuts. They went ballistic 4 years ago when Trump chose not to attend the inauguration for the fake president. Remember how fake that scene was? There was nobody there. They had put up fences all over Washington, D.C. It was like a ghost town. And it was perfect for them because then the fake president can come out there and say, well, you know, because of COVID and because of the insurrection, we're just going to wall it off and go through all the motions. And don't worry, everything's official. There are some who said the establishment, they hate Trump so much that they wanted it inside the rotunda so that millions wouldn't show up for his inauguration outside. It was only in the low 20s and sunny, as I understand it, outside in D.C. today. Others have said, well, it was because of security concerns. Now, I guess the Secret Service, they're very, very careful. Who knows why? In any event, I mean, this is an official ceremony. And the vibe around D.C., people are watching it on big screens. I was watching Fox News yesterday, and they just said the whole mood across D.C., I mean, D.C. is where they can get these juries, no problem, to put MAGA supporters in prison because it's a deep, dark blue city. Well, change has come to town. The swamp, again, he's going up against a lot. What about all those bureaucrats that are there just clapping away? Oh, Merrick Garland, you did such a great job. These are crooks and criminals. And we'll see. We'll see. Regarding the pardons, why would play? Do you guys have the montage of Kinzinger and those guys that said, oh, this would never happen? Because the only reason you would want a pardon is if you're, you know, guilty of a crime. Play that if you have it.
The only reason I know to ask for a pardon is because you think you've committed a crime.
Like, I only know of one reason to seek a pardon, because you're worried that you're guilty, that you committed a crime.
I know you said you don't want a preemptive pardon from President Biden. Is that because you think the Trump administration will not actually prosecute?
I don't know what the Trump administration will do, but it's for a couple of reasons. First, those of us on the committee are very proud of the work we did. We were doing vital, quintessential oversight of a violent attack on the Capitol. So I think it's unnecessary. But second, the precedent of giving blanket pardons, preemptive blanket pardons, on the way out of an administration, I think is a precedent we don't want to set.
And you've communicated that to the president, President Biden?
Communicated it both publicly and privately.
And talking about these pardons, we've heard from General Milley, Dr. Fauci, Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, expressing their gratitude. And just the subtext here is that these people committed crimes and that they need pardons. Now, we've heard in statement after statement, Jonathan, from all of these people, I've done nothing wrong. but I'm grateful for the cover that I clearly am going to need under this new administration.
Yeah, whether to accept.
Because I think the people who say I don't want a pardon are saying that because they know factually there is no evidence to do anything to them. So I get it, and I'm not being critical of the president for doing it, but it's sad. It is very, very sad, and it's another blow to the institution of rule of law in this country.
Look at these people. Sam was just telling me Biden pardoned his family just moments ago. His whole family. So the family, the January 6th committee, you heard in the one montage we played where they talked about Trump's leaving. He's an autocrat. He left peacefully 4 years ago. They've been calling him Hitler for months and months and months. And I didn't finish my point on the difference between the inaugurations, but 4 years ago, they staged this completely fake ceremony where no one attended, which is just perfect. If you've got a fake president, have a fake ceremony. Donald Trump chose not to go. Their heads exploded in the regime media. This time around, you have an official ceremony and all of them choose to go, except for Michelle. They all go and Orange Hitler, it's for Orange Hitler. So what's worse, not going to a ceremony where you think they stole it or actually going to a ceremony where you've been calling him Hitler the whole time? These people, and they, just the fact that he's handing out pardons to all of his family and friends, it tells you what they believe deep in their heart of hearts about Donald Trump. Trump doesn't need a pardon from any former president. If he's an autocrat, if he's a Hitler, he'll just come in and persecute them, no problem. He wouldn't even need the DOJ. But they know, you see, they know he's a man who upholds the law. They know that unless the Supreme Court weighs in and says, nope, can't do it. I mean, all through history, there's supposed to be very targeted, specific pardons for people that actually did crimes. Now you've got preemptive pardons. Who was the autocrat? Who was the authoritarian? They've been persecuting Trump and all things Trump, and now they issue blanket pardons for all of their friends, their cronies. These people are gangsters. That's what America's been run by ever since the beginning of the dear leader's reign. And finally, the tables turn. Just like God said that it would. It's pretty amazing what we're witnessing. Miracles to go around. It's kind of poetic, isn't it? Liz Cheney, Kinzinger, you saw there in that montage. All of them working so hard for 4 years to lock up ordinary Americans. And all of them in the lead up to this day saying how it would be immoral for President Trump to issue any pardons for those January 6th protesters. And then Biden, while he's out the door, issues pardons to all of his family and friends. As if we needed more proof. Just to see the fake world that we've been living in these past 4 years. How poetic is it? Excuse me, dear leader, we're going to change Denali back to McKinley. There you go. And Obama's he's got to sit there and listen to it. He's got to sit there, as do the Bidens, as do Kamala Harris and her husband, all of them, Hakeem Jeffries. Donald Trump essentially said, I mean, for the most part, it was positive from start to finish, but he was also pointing out there's been lots and lots of bitter, bitter affliction. And all that changes, or at least it starts to change today. Today, this is from Breitbart, President Joe Biden preemptively pardoned former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, retired General Mark Milley, Anthony Fauci, and members of the January 6th committee. Why would they need to be pardoned? Why would Anthony Fauci need? He worked along with Donald Trump in 2020. He was worshipped. I mean, he was on the nightly news, sometimes multiple times. Fauci's Fauci is the former highest paid government employee. Why does he need a pardon? Why does General Milley need a pardon? I mean, I thought everything with the Afghanistan departure was just perfect. It's exactly the way they drew it up. Milley? And then even police officers, just specific ones. Usually we target the police. But in this case, the Capitol Hill Police and the Metropolitan Police in D.C., anyone associated with the January 6th committee, pardon. They've got a complete preemptive pardon. It covers everything. One final parting shot at Donald Trump. Surprise, surprise. He should have inserted a paragraph at the last minute, given how outrageous this is, and make Joe Biden sit there and listen to it. We're going to challenge this blanket coverage that you're giving all your cronies starting today. That's what he should have said. Maybe he'll say it tomorrow. It's unbelievable. In a statement released Monday morning at 7 a.m., that's today, just 5 hours before Donald Trump was sworn in, the White House issued a statement from Biden touting them dedicated, selfless public servants, the ones he pardoned. This is from Biden's statement itself. That is why I'm exercising my authority under the Constitution to pardon General Milley, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the members of Congress and staff who served on the Select Committee, and the U.S. Capitol and D.C. Metropolitan Police officers who testified before the Select Committee. He says the issuance of these pardons should not be mistaken as an acknowledgement that any individual engaged in any wrongdoing. But hang on a second, because Adam Kinzinger and Schiff, they told us that the only reason you need a pardon is if you're guilty of crimes. They know. They know they're guilty. They know they've been caught. They know there's a new sheriff in town. This is the New York Times take. These are exceptional circumstances, and it's quoting Biden. I cannot in good conscience do nothing. Baseless and politically motivated. Think about how rich this is. This is in Biden's statement. Baseless and politically motivated investigations wreak havoc on lives. That's true. That is true. Donald Trump knows this. And so do those January 6th prisoners languishing away. And his parting comments, Merrick Garland, you know, I'm especially proud of you people here at the DOJ for the work that you did eliminating crime. No. Sealing the border. No. I'm especially proud of the work you did to put Trump supporters in prison. No wonder they fear retribution. It says here, even when individuals have done nothing wrong and in fact have done the right thing and will ultimately be exonerated, the mere fact of being investigated or prosecuted can irreparably damage reputations and finances. That's from Biden's pardon statement. I mean, they're saying the quiet part out loud. They're saying exactly what they were trying to do. Irreparably damage someone's reputation, his finances, put him in anything that we can do. That's what they tried. And you know what the other side of this, it's not in the New York Times article, but the other side of this shows you God's miraculous hand, just like we had in the latest issue of The Trumpet, or I guess it was an issue or two ago. It was a miracle because Donald Trump withstood all these attacks. And there he is. As he said in his speech, as you can see, I'm here now. I survived. I'm glad he had something to say there about the assassination attempt. Because there were two, by the way. He was shot in the ear. The guy, he fired off 8 rounds. Trump wasn't supposed to be here. But he is. Because God intervened. God intervened from January 6th, 4 years ago, to this day. What? What a journey this has been. Let's not, as Trump said in his speech, let's not forget our great God. Let's not forget about our great God's involvement in the affairs of men. I'll play this. It'll take us a few minutes over, but I'm not going to charge you for any of these extra minutes. But this is the montage that we tweaked just a little bit. It was in the end of the year montage, the giant one that we play every year. Clip 6.
Take a look at what happened. Oh.
That Donald Trump is alive.
I think it was a miracle that Donald Trump was not struck.
Donald Trump is survived by a miracle.
Nothing short of a miracle.
It seems like everything has aligned in the period of like 3 days to make it very obvious Donald Trump's going to be the next president. There's no doubt about it at this point.
Not only did he survive an assassination attempt, he stood up. Without knowing whether there were other shooters there, he stood up and faced the crowd and raised his hand and said, fight, fight, fight. That's it. You do that, you win.
Not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yeah. Thank you. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God.
We all know in this room certainly is that God is not finished with you and he has big plans.
Donald Trump's going to win. He's going to win.
The future is going to be amazing.
How close is this thing going to be?
How do you like my garbage truck? This truck is in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden.
Trump's peeking out of a window of a garbage truck just a week after he peeked out of a McDonald's drive-thru window. You're looking at a political athlete. This is less than 24 hours. Now, Kamala spent millions of dollars producing that speech last night at the Ellipse, and no one remembers it. No one's talking about it. Donald Trump, if he loses, faces life behind bars. If he wins, faces more killers gunning for his life. The only choice he can make now is to fight, fight, fight.
This is the final, this is it. This is the last chance. This is the last chance, man.
The Fox News decision desk can now officially project that Donald Trump will become the 47th president of the United States.
The former president's comeback will be complete with a win in Wisconsin, a state that he narrowly lost 4 years ago. He is now the
Donald Trump returns to the White House, the president-elect pulling off potentially the biggest political comeback in American history.
Unlike any in modern American politics.
For an historic political realignment.
Unlike anything we have ever seen.
Trump sweeping all seven battleground states, lifting his total number of electoral college votes to 312.
He also made significant gains in some of the most democratic places in the country.
I think it is really more akin to a political resurrection.
It is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
The influences of a Schumer, a Pelosi, or a movie star, or an Obama deciding to anoint somebody, those guys are gone.
Former President Donald Trump fought off a host of allegations and slurs, a criminal conviction on dozens of felony counts, and two impeachments, two assassination attempts as well, to reclaim the White House.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. We won. We won.
An amazing miracle from start to finish. Pretty incredible. This breaking news, this is from Revolver. In a sweeping final act before leaving office on the day of Donald Trump's inauguration, President Joe Biden on Monday pardoned his siblings and their spouses, citing what he described as unrelenting attacks and threats aimed at his family in an effort to undermine him politically. As I say, just try to wrap your mind around how rich this is for him to say this. It says, in addition to family members, Biden issued a series of pardons and commutations for aides and allies who have been targeted by former President Donald Trump, though none have been formally charged with any crime. Friends, family, brothers, spouses, anybody, all of the swamp, they've got to be protected. Because, I mean, they're like clapping seals. When Merrick Garland leaves, he's a hero. Donald Trump was right. He was right not to go to the inauguration because it was fake. He was right about the deep state. He was right about the dear leader. And he was right about his return. He even really alluded to it when he left peacefully. He left peacefully 4 years ago. 4 years ago today, and he said, I may be leaving, but this is not the end of our movement. Well, he got that right as well. It's important, though, as I say, that we keep God right at the center. I don't have the one where it says miracle victory, but this one from the start of 2023, I think it was, ready for war. Even before that, who's running the show? And you see the dear leader here. Who's running the show? This is all from the Trumpet magazine. Here again. Why is God protecting this man? And then that January issue where we said, hey, this was a miracle victory. I'll quote from it. I have it here in my notes. This is January 2025. It says, many people are calling this the greatest political comeback in the history of the nation or possibly the world. Some are likening it to a resurrection. You heard that in the montage. Some recognize it as a miracle from God. Think of it. This man, Trump, faced relentless attacks from the moment he began running for president in 2015 and all through his time in office. Even after he left Washington in 2021, the attacks never stopped. They never stopped. He was blacklisted from social media. You may have seen all the tech giants sitting right behind the Trump family. Yeah, Bezos, Zuckerberg, Elon, the guy that heads up Google, I forget his name. They're all there. All of the billion, this was a very limited audience because they're just inside the rotunda room. So all of these billionaires that blotted out Donald Trump 4 years ago, they blotted him out. And now they're there clapping for the new president. Wow, have the tables turned? They certainly have. Denali is no longer Denali. It says somehow he emerged strong. Well, before that, even after he left Washington in 2021, the attacks never stopped. He was blacklisted from social media. The FBI raided his home. He was indicted four times. He was the target of persistent media vitriol and at least two assassination attempts. Yet somehow he emerged stronger than ever. Yes, and I would add to that, and somehow, all of his persecutors came in and watched live the inauguration event for Orange Hitler. There you go. I've taken you way, way over, but today's an unusual day. You got to watch some TV with your host, so that's exciting. It's not every day we get to do that. We appreciate you joining us for today's special edition of the Trumpet Daily. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, the fastest moving hour and 7 minutes in broadcasting. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.